Hi, you're listening to the My Coach Cricket Show, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sappat from Australia. Welcome to another week of the Pitch Vision podcast. How you been, David?
Very good, thanks. Yes, I've been enjoying the sunshine here and been sort of stepping up my training before I go off on a little holiday in a week or so's time. So I've been in the gym pretty much every day in the last week, and I've been sort of really knuckling down on my nutrition as well. So now the cricket season's over, I can really focus on that and spend some good time in the gym and lift some heavy weights and spend the rest of the week walking around like an old man because I'm training my legs so hard at the moment.
Yeah, sounds good. How's your week been so far? Done much?
So far, yesterday, which is Sunday, I went to the final of the ECB's Club 2020 competition in Cardiff here in the UK. So that was good fun. And I got to see four of the top sort of club cricket sides, amateur cricket sides over here in the UK. So that was quite enjoyable. The standard was pretty high. There was some pretty good bowling on show. And some very varied batting, let's say. one of the chaps was a real kind of you imagine you sort of village slogger, but he was obviously had a better eye than your average village slogger. But he really did just sort of stand there and smash it, which was good fun.
Yeah.
No real technique, but he just had a lot of power and a good eye. So that was good. But it was a good day. So I'll be writing a bit about that on the My Coach site. So keep your eye out for that, because that was a good day out.
Yeah.
And I took the whole family to that. So I enjoyed that. Oh. But you've been playing cricket, which is good. So what have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Well, we just had our second game. We started it this weekend, and our team really hasn't started well at all. We got bowled out for about 100, and all our batsmen sort of failed. And me, myself, I got a duck myself. And yeah, it's just everything fell apart. We were a bit complacent after our big win last game. So yeah, we just have to step it up in our bowling next week. So just working on that at the moment.
You didn't tell us how you did last week. Did you win last week? Because we missed a week, didn't we?
Yeah, we won by 200 runs. So we got about 300 and bowled them out for about 100. So yeah, that was a great effort from us.
Oh really? So when you but you got bowled up for 100 this week.
Yeah, we got bowled out for 100. This week we batted for about 40 overs and we only got 100. But last week we got about 300 in 50 overs last week.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did they bat? Did they get a chance to bat, or will they be batting on Saturday?
Yeah, they actually batted and they got our score in about 30 overs. So it's just, we really lost because of the youth in their team, because we got a lot of older guys in our team and they're just full of 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and they're all really young, pumped up. And they just, I don't know, they're vibrant sort of beat us, I reckon. But yeah, it was good to sort of be a part of it.
Overpowered by team spirit.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, so does that mean you miss a week?
They're actually going to try and go to win by outright, so win through the second innings as well, so they get more points. So, and we can still win it from here. We'll see how it goes. At the ECB thing, meet any interesting people? See any new things?
Well, there weren't many people there of the top people, as you would expect, because it's a club event. There weren't that many people there.
Yeah.
But I did get a chance to speak to Angus Fraser briefly,
which was
good fun.
Yeah.
Had a little chat with him because he was doing work for Sky. So got to have a little chat with him, which was good. But other than that, it was pretty quiet. I mean, you imagine it's a sort of, I don't know what the capacity is. It's probably about 20,000 capacity stadium.
Yeah.
And there couldn't have been more than 400 or 500 people there total.
Oh, okay. And they broadcast that on Sky TV, did they?
That was live on Sky, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But it's just good to see club cricket on television and having a big finals day like that. It was is really good. I think the ECB, the England Cricket Board, really want to push the club game forward.
Yeah.
And it's having a big showcase like that on telly and a big final and something to play for. and all the big Premier Leagues are involved in it. So it's really trying to push the club game forward. So I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah, it's really good because it exposes a lot of the up-and-coming players. So clubs, maybe counties out there could keep a lookout for players they could be interested in. So really gives a lot of exposure, I reckon.
It definitely does. One of the big problems in the UK system is that there's a bit of a disconnect between clubs and county cricket. So it's kind of like if you don't get picked up by an academy, you know, by the age of sort of 18, 19 maximum, then it's almost like you're on the scrap heap. You haven't got a chance of making it. Almost. I mean, there are exceptions, but pretty much you haven't got much of a chance of making it. So to have a showcase like that, I think will only bring county sides closer to the clubs which are in their area, which I think is very, very important if you want a strong system.
We heard the podcast last week with Roy Palmers.
Yeah.
And I found it a lot of new stuff, found it a bit interesting. How do you think it went, David?
It was really good. I enjoyed talking to Roy. He's got quite a unique way of looking at things, which is, you know, do less to achieve more, which, as he said, is not about being lazy and sitting around doing nothing, but about being aware of what you're doing and what is important and what is extraneous.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that just by training harder, you're going to train better, and that isn't necessarily the case, which is really interesting of Roy to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he teaches, as you know, he teaches the Alexander technique.
Yeah.
Which I've never had a lesson on or anything like that, but it sounds like a really good thing to do to sort of create body awareness.
Mm.
One area where I was trying to get out of him, but I didn't quite, I don't think I quite had the time to do it properly. I don't think I asked him enough questions about it.
Yeah.
Was he talks about just trusting the body to do the best thing for itself and being able to sort of relax. And he talks about the zone and things like that, you know, being able to relax and being able to do things, let the body do things. So it's subconscious, you know, it's all subconscious.
Yeah.
Which is a really good way of looking at things.
Yeah.
But one thing I didn't really get to was what happens when the body adapts itself in a dysfunctional way.
Yeah.
Because it's all very well saying, you know, the body will find the best way of doing it. But I don't think necessarily that every time it will do that. I mean, to give you an example, there's been some research done into imbalances between the left and the right-hand side of the body.
Yeah.
So if you're stronger, considerably stronger on your right hand side than your left hand side, for example, and it has to be considerably. It's not obviously everyone's got a stronger side.
Yeah,
some people are right handed, some people are left handed. But if the difference is greater than around about 15%, then you increase your risk of getting an injury because your body is trying to compensate so much that you increase your chances of getting an injury. Now, a lot of physical therapists and strength coaches are starting to come around to the idea of training those imbalances out as much as you can.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it started really with baseball pitches because baseball pitching is sort of like an extreme version of bowling. So you get an even more extreme imbalance between the left and right-hand side depending on which side your pitching hand is. But I think there's definitely a carryover to bowlers as well. I mean, you do get a lot of fast bowlers getting injured. I think maybe part of that reason might be the left-right-hand side imbalance.
Yeah.
And if you're doing traditional training, say you're in the gym and you're doing, I don't know, if you're doing rows, for example, you know, you pick up the weight, you put one hand on the bench and you pull it up towards your body, you know, that kind of exercise.
Yeah.
Traditionally, we say you do an even amount on the left and on the right.
Yeah.
Because you want to have equal amount of strength on the left-hand side and the right-hand side. But if you've got a major imbalance, if you do an even amount of both of those, then all you're doing is you're strengthening the imbalance.
Yeah.
So the answer then is to do twice as much on, if you're imbalanced, so your right hand is stronger than your left hand, by over 15%, then you just do twice as much on the left-hand side as you do on the right-hand side until that imbalance is slightly sorted out.
Yeah.
And it's not just strength, it's also mobility as well. So if you're a lot more mobile on your right hip than your left hip, then your increasing your chances of injury.
Okay.
So again, if you do twice as much mobility work, you know, those kind of lunge exercises you can do and stretching and things like that. If you
Yep.
do twice as much on the left hip than on the right hip, then
Mm-hmm.
that'll even out the imbalance and you'll reduce your chance of getting injuries on your opposite shoulder, on the same knee or the same ankle.
Yeah.
So it's quite an interesting area, and it's one that I didn't really get into with Roy, but I suspect Roy would say most of that is irrelevant because it's you know, the body will find the best way, and you don't need to worry about it. Just let the body do it, and don't worry too much about it. Don't try and artificially train it.
Yeah.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, though, so
Yeah.
that's what I suspect he'd say.
So when he's talking about trusting your body, for example, does he mean, like, for if you take batting as an example, does he mean trusting your natural instinct and not overcomplicating things by not overcomplicating technique, for example? Is that what he's talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, he has met Greg Chappell, and I think a lot
Right.
of what Greg Chappell has researched as well, he says, is something similar,
Yeah.
which is the whole paralysis by analysis thing,
Yeah. Okay.
where he says, you know, don't worry about where your foot is, where your hip is, where your elbow is. Don't worry about those things. You're just
Yeah.
thinking about it too much. Just
Yeah.
think, I'm going to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Just going to bowl, and then let your sub because you've learned it subconsciously through practice. You don't need to do those. You don't need to consciously think about those things. You just need to do them
Yeah.
without thinking about them. But that's the difficult part. That's the difficult part because it's only natural for your conscious mind to want to take over and think, what am I doing right here? What am I doing wrong?
I guess it works for different people as well.
I think it works for everyone. I think
Yeah.
it's a universal thing. It's just a matter of once you've well learn that skill, whatever that skill is, whether it's bowling, batting, fielding, whatever that skill is.
Yeah.
Once you've learned that skill, you don't need to be thinking about it anymore because you can do it.
Yeah.
You just need to be able to clear your mind
Yeah.
so you can let yourself do it without consciously thinking about what you're doing. You know, you don't think when you're like, as Roy said, you don't think about picking something up off the floor. You just
Yeah.
pick it up. So, you know, that's a perfectly natural thing to do. You know, bend down, pick something up, or, you know, pick up a cup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
You just do it. So that is where I am completely in agreement with Roy. And in fact, that's where Roy led my thinking for a long time.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So I thought it was an excellent show, and I think everybody can get something from that, and also from his book as well, which we talked about quite a lot in the show. So definitely worth picking up.
All right, so we got some readers' questions again this week, and we'll be obliged if you could answer them again, David.
I'll do my best. Yeah, I haven't actually done much research this week, so I've got to admit I'm not my homework is not up to date. So hopefully I'm going to be able to answer them. So you've got them though, haven't you? So.
Yeah, I got them. All right. The first question is from Saini. He says from his he or she says they're from the UK, and they say, "Sir, I want to improve my stamina power. How can I do that? Please give me some tips to improve it. I want to become a superhero in the cricket field so I can join your cricket coaching academy in Mumbai."
Okay, well, there's a few things there. The first thing is, much as I'd like to have a coaching academy in Mumbai, I don't have one. So, sorry, my friend, but you can't join that because it doesn't exist. As soon as it does, I'll make sure I let you know where in Mumbai it is. But at the moment, there's no plans for one, so don't get too excited about that. But I love his phrase, I want to be a superhero. I think that's
Yeah.
brilliant. I think that's excellent. And you can be a superhero as well. I mean, you're not going to be flying around with a cape, obviously. But you can be considered, there's nothing to stop anyone being considered the best fielder in the team.
Yeah.
You know, why not? Being a good fielder, particularly being a good fielder, gives you advantages, especially in club cricket, that you don't necessarily get in by just being a good batsman or just being a good bowler. You know, look at the example of Monty Panesar. He's an excellent bowler, but he's always been
Yeah.
criticised for his fielding, always being criticised for his batting.
Yeah.
If you can do good fielding as well, then especially in club cricket, that'll give you opportunities at a higher level. I know
Yeah.
young players in my club. If they're a good, you know, a young player who perhaps isn't ready as a batsman or a bowler, will get into a higher level just purely on the fact that he's a good bowler, a good fielder, I should say. I think, and you know, in club cricket, it's one of the things that isn't worked on very much, fielding. So if you can sort of show yourself as a shining example of a good fielder, then that will give you a good chance to make your name in your main skill.
Yeah.
So definitely work on that as much as you can.
Yeah.
The first part of the question, though, is what was it again?
He wants to improve his stamina power. So any tips of how he can improve his stamina?
Yeah, stamina power, that's two separate things.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about it in a fielding context, aren't we?
No, he doesn't specifically say it, but maybe just cricket in general for bowling, batting, fielding, all around.
All right. Well, okay. So there's three. So you've got three different skills, and you've got two different types of fitness: stamina and power.
Yeah.
So because I don't know what he does. I don't know what the exact thing he's looking at there is. I'll just give a general overview, and hopefully that'll answer the question. If not, feel free to email back in again with a few more details. You've got stamina, or sometimes it's called endurance, or more specifically in a cricket context, it's called work capacity. It's all much of a muchness, really. The main difference is that stamina or endurance, you when you think of that, you think of like a marathon runner or a long distance runner,
yeah,
or a, you know, triathlete or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can run for miles, bike for miles, swim for miles.
Yeah.
Whereas work capacity is your ability to repeatedly perform similar actions over and over again and then recover from that action. So that would be, you know, chasing after a ball in the cricket field, throwing it back in, and then you have a little rest for an over or so because no one hits it to you, and then you have a recover, and then someone hits it to you again, you field it again, and batting as well. You hit the ball, you run a couple, then you're at the non-striker's end. So you have that gives you time to recover, and then it's the end of the over, and then you have another hit, and so on and so forth. So,
yeah,
that's the difference between work capacity and stamina, if you want to be exact about it.
Yeah,
and then power, of course, is your ability to generate force. So it's strength times speed.
Yeah,
where strength is your ability to lift a maximum or to lift a maximum amount of weight. And speed is your ability to do it quickly. You put them together, and that's power.
Yeah.
So in terms of cricket, those two are, both of those things are good things, but they're sort of at opposite ends of the scale, if you like.
Mm.
Stamina is your ability to keep going at something for a long time, and power is your ability to produce a lot of force in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in terms of time, at least, they're kind of like the opposite.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, well, just as a side issue, there is something called power endurance.
Yeah.
Which is your ability to produce force multiple times over and over again.
Okay.
That isn't so relevant to cricket because you're not having to, you know, that would be the equivalent of you're batting and you're trying to hit the ball every ball.
Yeah.
And you never get time at the non-striker's end. There's never the end of an over. You just hit the ball, which never happens.
Yeah,
you always get a little bit of a rest, so that's where more your ability to recover comes in with work capacity.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about work capacity, which is the closest thing we get to endurance, you want to be doing interval training. That's the best way to generate work capacity because that reflects accurately the type of training, the type of thing that you're doing on the pitch. So if you're a bowler, you know, you run in six times, then you have a rest.
Yeah.
Then you run in six times, then you have a rest. Then you run in six times, then you have a rest. So why not do that in your training?
Yeah.
The easiest way to do that is to do it in training sessions to make sure you bowl in six balls and then have a rest and then bowl another six balls and then have a rest, rather than what happens in a lot of nets where you have six or seven different bowlers and everyone bowls a ball and then you start again and everyone bowls a ball and then you start again.
Yeah.
It'd be much better if you had someone bowl six, then he stops and has a rest or does some fielding practice or something like that.
Yeah.
And then comes back and bowls another six. That'd be the first way. Obviously, playing cricket and bowling is another way of doing it because the more you play, the more you'll improve your stamina.
Yeah.
And then you can just do interval training as well. You can set up if he's a bowler, if we're talking about a bowler, then you can mark your run out, or just find a field, mark your run out as normal, stick a millie hurdle or a little obstacle at the end of it, and then run up, jump over the hurdle, don't actually bowl, just run up, jump over the hurdle, and then walk back. And then run up, jump over the hurdle, and walk back. And do that 6 times, and then rest.
Yeah.
Because that is reflecting exactly what you're doing on the pitch. So if you're a bowler, do that. And if you're a batsman, you can do something similar. You know, you can do an all-run 3 or an all-run 4. Mark out 20 yards. You know, mark, put a couple of cones down or a couple of markers down, and then just run up and down.
Yeah.
And do it that way. And just do as many intervals as you can there until you're knackered.
Yeah.
Or you can do it with you can actually do it with weights as well. If you're in the gym, then you can do things like complexes, which will are not as specific, but they do have a place for variation and things like that. What a complex is you pick, say, 3 or 4 different exercises, and then you pick up a couple of dumbbells or a barbell. You put a light, relatively light weight on it, and then you do, say, 5 or 6 repetitions of each exercise without a rest between each one.
Yeah.
And then you stop, and then you rest, and you have a little rest, and then you do it again.
Yeah.
And you do that, you know, say 5 or 6 times with a little rest, 30 to 60 seconds, something like that between each one. And that is pretty knackered. If you get the weight right, it's quite a balance, because you don't want too heavy a weight, because it's not strength training.
Yeah.
But also you don't want too light a weight, because you do actually want to be getting out of breath.
Okay.
So that'd be interval training.
Yeah.
But power as well, do you want me to explain that as well, power?
Yeah, we sort of need that as well.
Power's a bit more complicated, so I'll just do a basic overview of power, because I don't want to go into too much detail on power.
Yes.
There's loads of different ways you can produce power. A simple way, or what appears to be a simple way, is plyometrics, which is jumping, basically.
Yeah.
Because when you're jumping, you're producing power, so the further you jump, the higher you jump, the more power you produce, and therefore that increases your ability to produce power.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that is most people go into plyometrics thinking, right, I'll do some jumping, and I've seen all these one-leg jumps, and I've seen these tuck jumps, and all kinds of different jumps that you see top athletes doing, and you think you can just go in and do those without learning the correct mechanics for landing, because the ability to land is very important. So what you have to do is build it up from a base of learning how to land, learning how to jump high but land softly, and then build up gradually from there. So that's very important to do. But plyometrics are excellent, because you can do them pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Medicine ball throws against the wall. If you could throw a medicine ball against the wall, that gives you power production. Olympic lifts. If you've got a coach, who can teach you the Olympic lifts. Snatch, clean and jerk, those kind of exercises, then, you know, you've probably seen those on the telly. You're moving a lot of weight very quickly.
Yeah.
So that's really good as well.
Yeah.
And general strength training as well will increase your power, because power is strength times speed. So general strength training will do it as well. So that's a basic overview of power. So if he does those two things, then he should improve his power and his stamina.
Yeah.
Although he probably can't do both at the same time. He'll probably have to do one, then the other.
Yeah. He can still become a superhero, though.
But yeah, if he does both, say, you know, he does one for 3 months and another for 3 months.
Yeah.
Then he'll be well on his way to being a superhero, yeah.
All right, well, I hope that answers your question, Saini. And the next question is from Asif. And he asks, what is it to control the controllable in cricket?
Yeah, control the controllables. That's one of those things which you hear said.
Yeah.
And sounds a bit odd.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a bit of sort of psychology mumbo jumbo, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's actually grounded in common sense thinking, I believe, anyway. I don't like the phrase control the controllables, because it sounds more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
All control the controllables really means is don't worry about the stuff that you've got no control over.
Yeah.
You can't stop it raining.
Yeah.
You can't stop someone bowling you a jaff at first ball.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You can't do anything about that. So why spend time worrying about it? All you need to do is focus on the stuff that you've got complete control over. How much you train, what the quality is like of that training, how strong you are, how fast you are, and whether you're thinking positively or negatively. If you're if you're focusing on those things, which are things you can control, then you're going to be a better player. It's just it's all linked into having a positive mindset and just doing the stuff that you can control, and not worrying about the stuff you can't control. It really is as simple as that. The difficult part, and this is where you get all the techniques and that kind of thing. The difficult part is implementing it, making it happen. Because it's very easy to say, well, all we have to do is just think about the positives and forget about the negatives.
Yeah.
But it's very, very, we're conditioned from a young age to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
There was some research done a while back into parenting, which it might not seem relevant, but it is pretty relevant. What they found was that kids who are brought up in a normal, happy, you know, stable, safe home environment.
Yeah.
So normal kids, basically.
Yeah.
80% of communication with their parents is some kind of negative thing. Don't do that. Stop doing that. You know, behave yourself. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah.
And then 20% is kind of, you know, well done. You know, I'm proud of you. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's normal. That's not even in a negative. Imagine what it'd be like if you grown up in a more negative house.
Yeah.
So you take that into your adulthood. Of course you do. So you immediately think of the negative. You do something wrong, you think, oh God, I've done that wrong. That's terrible. You do something right, you just kind of think, oh well, you know, that's, I expect to do it right. You know, that's what I expect to happen.
Yeah.
So you don't big yourself up when you do something well. And you get yourself down when you're doing badly. And we're all conditioned to do that. Well, we certainly are in the West. And I'm not sure what it's like in other parts of the world, but certainly in the Western world, we're conditioned to do that.
Yeah.
So you have to use, there's techniques you can use to stop that. And they are on my coach. So to give you an example of a good one, which works straight away, and you can start doing it straight away, even in your daily life. You don't even just apply it to cricket. You can apply it to anything that happens in your daily life, anything negative that happens. If you find yourself having a negative thought about something, you just think of it, a big a traffic light or a stop sign that just says stop, or a big red traffic light, and then you say to yourself,
yeah,
right, stop having a negative thought. Instead, put something general and positive in your mind. And then you just throw away the negative thought. So say you play and miss when you're batting.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, oh God, I'm playing really badly today. I'm really not. This guy's a really good bowler. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to get any runs against him? You know, all that kind of negative stuff.
Yeah.
As soon as you start thinking that, instead of letting that get to you, you say to yourself, stop. You think of the big red stop sign. You think, stop. And then you think, no, I've practiced hard. I've got runs on this kind of wicket before, I can do it again.
Yeah.
Then you clear your mind and you focus on the next ball.
Yeah.
And just that little technique there, which you can do any time, when you're playing cricket, when you're not playing cricket, you know, if you mess something up at work or at school, any time, then you can use that technique.
Yeah.
There's other things you can do, and they are available on the My Coach pages at pitchvision.com. So I won't go into any more details at the moment, but that's a good one you can do straight away. And it really works. I've used that myself and it really does work.
So one of the main aspects of what you can control is your mind. Is that what you're saying?
You can control what you're thinking about.
Yeah, okay.
Don't think about the things that you can't control.
Yeah.
Because you can't control them. It's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, oh, this bowler's really good, he's going to get me out in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, he might.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do. If he's going to bowl you a really good ball, then there's nothing you can do about that. Just think to yourself, well, no, I practice hard. I know I can play this kind of bowling. I've done it before.
Yep.
I'm going to do it again.
Okay. Yeah, I think that could help a lot of young players, especially, like waiting to bat. And when they go out, that's all they think about, their bowler and what kind of delivery he's going to bowl or whatever. It's just about thinking about yourself, isn't it? Thinking about what you've done in the past and that you can sort of match anything the bowler can put out.
Precisely. And if you do find yourself up against a bowler who's a batsman, if you're a bowler, if you do find yourself up against someone who's much better than you, then you know, you either take the stick of getting smashed all around the park, or you get out and then you go away and you think about it once you're finished.
Yeah.
And you think, right, what happened there? Was that a flaw in my technique? You know, what was that? And then once you've worked out what that is, then you can go away and practice it on the, you know, on the practice days.
Yeah.
But when it's time to play, just play.
Yeah.
And that's what I think control the controllables means.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's all we've got time for. If you've got any questions, please email us, me or David, at mycoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycoach@pitchvision.com. Thanks for your time, David. I'm sure a lot of readers have been helped by your tips.
Thank you.
So that's goodbye for now. This is Kevin from Australia.
And it's David Hinchley from the UK.
Goodbye. Thanks.
Goodbye.